I remember when I was like 11, I used to get really, I was really into like drugs. Not even 11, I was like 13.
What?
When I was 11, I was super into
drugs. I was just...
Welcome back, please. Everybody, to the Blueberry Tent Podcast.
No, please, no.
This is it. People gotta see this, man. This is...
No, please. No, I'm just kidding. I thought this would be part of it.
Yeah, welcome back. How you doing, Boston?
No, I'm not ready. I'm good. It's been a strange week, but I'm good.
Mm.
How about you?
My week has been pretty productive.
Nice.
Not so much strange, but I feel like I'm on track to becoming what I want and who I want to become.
Mm-hmm.
With nice. Just changes in my exercise, my diet, my sleep.
Yeah.
It feels like these three things seep into everything else in my life. My schoolwork has gotten better. I'm outside more often. I just go for walks because why not?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, my energy, my outlook, and also my hormones. I was doing a lot of research about like hormones and stuff because I was getting terrible sleep for the past probably year, where I just watch chess videos, Daniel Naroditsky. And
shout out to Daniel.
Yeah, man, what a great GM. What a great guy.
Did you see the new one?
I did. I watched it this morning.
That's great, right?
Yeah, really good. Did you see the way he had his black pawn set up like all the way on the right side of the board?
Yeah. I think so. He had a pawn chain, right? All the way across.
And then he brought the rook in.
Yeah. No, actually, I didn't finish the game because I wanted to watch the new Abba and Preach video about the Amber Heard trial.
Hmm. But let's not get sidetracked.
A lot of stuff going on. Amber Heard,
man.
New Doctor Strange came out.
No,
you know,
man, I was talking about my week.
No. My week was strange, and also the new Doctor Strange came out. That's really what I wanted to get off my chest.
Maybe that's why it was so strange.
That's why it was strange, I think.
Did you see the photo, the image of the third eye that he has open?
Oh, really? No, I haven't.
It's so funny. It looks like, did you ever watch those old YouTube videos of the orange who can talk?
Yeah,
annoying,
for sure.
Orange?
Annoying orange. Yeah.
Yes, it looks like that. It looks like a plastered on eye.
It's just bad effect.
Just blinking on someone's forehead. And it's
so
Benedict
funny.
Cumberbatch of all people.
The Benedict Cumberbatch is such a meme at this point when he played the dragon.
Yeah, let's cut to that real quick.
Yeah, let's show a little clip.
I kill wherever I please, and none can stop me.
Sorry.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Basically, he did all of this motion capture work with his full body, performing as the dragon in the Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
What's his name? Smaug?
Yeah.
Smaug the dragon. And then just... the visual effects team was like, yeah, this was very useful. But, I mean, he's obviously not shaped like a dragon.
Yeah, they wanted him to do the voice acting for the dragon.
Yeah.
Fair enough, he's got an English accent. It comes across a bit
he's got
more,
a good voice.
He's more sinister.
Yeah.
But he went full method actor and asked to put on the motion capture suit.
Yeah.
And get down on his hands and knees. And
No. They didn't
ride.
Ask him. It was his initiative.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
he
all
wanted
him.
To. He really wanted to.
Yeah, what a moment.
It's like when they were making Sherlock and he was like, yeah, what if I'm just a prick the whole way through? How about that?
That's a great series, man.
It's so bad.
Oh, you don't like it anymore? You used to love it.
I used to love it when I was like 15, and I've come around. I've realized what a terrible show it is. You know what the show is really good at? At constantly making you think that it's all going to tie together. They're constantly making you think next season, it's all going to come together. Moriarty, it's all going to tie together. And it never does.
You know
what? It just gets worse and worse. Have you seen season 4, dude?
No.
It is such a joke of a joke. It's not even funny. The show is so far up its own ass. It's insane. I'm actually very passionate about this right now because last night I went back and watched the H-Bomber guy. Do you know him?
Nope.
Really great YouTuber. The H-Bomber guy video called... I don't know what it's called, but it's about Sherlock. It's like a two-hour analysis of the entire series. And he goes into great detail about Stephen Moffat and... how his mother-in-law, Sue Vertu, I think, is like one of the main producers, and so is he.
He's a producer?
His whole family is pretty much like, it's like a parasite on the corpse of the BBC. Like, he used to just write the occasional Doctor Who episodes, which he was good at, but he's never been good at making a complete story. He's always been good at hyping it up. Unless he's constrained by a single episode, then he'll do good. Right. But with Sherlock, man, it's just a build-up, and a huge letdown. Is Moriarty alive? Is he alive? No. Are we going to get an explanation for how Sherlock faked his death? No. Instead, they're going to make fun of the fans who wanted to read into it that much. Are we going to get him solving actual mysteries and actual crimes? No. It just happens off screen, or Sherlock has magical knowledge, or it was a fucking boomerang, dude. Bro, and it's super overproduced, high budget, swinging cameras, text effects, whoosh whoosh. Dude, there's this one scene in The Hounds of Baskerville, which is like one of the most beloved original Sherlock Holmes stories.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember that episode.
Of course I do. It used to scare me when I'd watch it at 15.
Oh yeah, me too. When I watched it at 15, it's just especially scary as well.
There's this one shot of this rich guy in his mansion
alone,
and yeah, he's alone, all in the darkness in the countryside. Mm-hmm. Huge beautiful mansion, and the lights are on indoors. And it's nighttime.
Yeah, I know exactly.
And there's somebody in the bushes outside looking inwards. And we see that point of view. And then we cut into the house.
Yeah.
Looking out the window. And the guy's only seeing his reflection.
Yeah. And then he turns on. Scary. He turns on the like floodlights into the garden. Mm-hmm. And he still doesn't see shit.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. No, but in that episode, there's an actual scene that looks like it was just edited to make fun of the show. But it's real. And he's, Sherlock is like, whoosh, whoosh. He's sitting alone in a room. The camera is spinning. He's like, whoosh, whoosh. Different JPEGs of like American presidents are running across his face. He's like, no, not that. And then, because he's going through, no, I have to show you this.
Not that.
He's going through all this text, all the, what does it mean? And then he's like, India, Indiana, no, that's not it. IND, no. And then he gets to the conclusion, HOUNDS, hounds. It's an acronym, and he's like, and he sits there, he's like, it's very, very Benedict Cumberbatch. He's like, he's cracked the code. It's so bad.
Benny boy.
No, but the show really makes, I used to really enjoy it, but when you're a bit older, I don't know, or with a even slightly more critical mindset, you just watch the show, they're really good at making you feel like it's good. And when you actually examine it, it's just obsessed with making Sherlock look like the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
Not as cool as Moriarty, though. He's always one step ahead, but yeah, anyway, I shouldn't go into that all that too much, but it's to me now, it's a ridiculous show.
Yeah, I liked what you were saying as well about them not really listening to the community. Like, the community having these expectations of how did Sherlock die? How did this happen? You know, because a lot of, you know, things happen on Reddit or parts of the internet where people try to decipher what's going on in the show. And that's also part of the experience. But if the show isn't really in touch with that or listening, then
they're really just baiting them. There's a bunch of queer baiting. There's a bunch of just baiting of the audience. They're like, oh, is Moriarty still alive? Back for season 3. They did that every single season. And no, Moriarty isn't alive.
What do you mean by the queer baiting, though?
Sherlock, we were just having fun. Oh, I'm disappointed. Oh, I thought we were gonna get together. I don't know. Just heavy. Not only between Sherlock and Moriarty, though, although that's the most prominent. And the whole intro where he, by the way, steals the crown jewels and stuff. It's like, we get it. He's a queen.
Yeah.
And also... Yeah, and then there's him and Watson all the time. What's her name? That lady who they're renting the apartment from?
Oh, Mrs. Baxter or something. Yeah. Mrs.
Oh, Sherlock, you and Watson? Oh, the whole time, dude.
Interesting.
The whole time they're pushing it. They push it so hard.
Well, the network is called the BBC. It's a bit sus, man. we haven't looked past that yet. I've been finding that really funny. I was watching some interviews with Jack Harlow, this new up-and-coming rapper.
Bro, everyone knows who Jack Harlow is.
Who knows? But and he's got this sense of humor where he just acts really sus and just like says a lot of kind of like queer things, and it's really funny. He'd be like, yeah, man, you know, I like to kick it with girls. I like to kick it with guys, like... All the time.
He can say a thing. When he says it, it's cool.
He's a cool guy. He's just pretty genuine and authentic. Because he's a rapper, but he's really from Kentucky. Like Louisiana. And grew up on a farm with his mom, who introduced him to rap. And him and his mom used to freestyle to beats in the car.
I didn't know that.
He was a young kid.
That's cute.
Yeah. And apparently now she's like the talk of the town back home. You know, her son went and became a rapper, and she's a proud mama. Which hopefully I make my mama proud one day.
You will, man. You will. But you're going to buy your mama a house one day, man.
Yeah, I actually just set this goal of... I'm not going to speak about it yet.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No need to put it on the record, you know?
Got
to
work towards it. It's on the record, but it's in my notebook.
True. No, you shared it with me, so it's in like... It's in the record between us, you know?
Yeah.
What do I want to say about Jack Harlow? Sorry, about White Drake. Is he a rapper, though? Or is he a personality? Or is he a celebrity?
No, he makes rap music. You know, there's artists, there's poets, there's a lot of things in rap, but he's just a rapper.
We were talking about Snoop Dogg, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, he's still making music, and he definitely started as a rapper.
Yeah.
But I would argue these days Snoop Dogg is a personality, is a celebrity.
I'd completely agree.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'd almost say the same for Jack Harlow, to be honest.
I don't know. I mean, that's happening a lot more frequently now. Even with Travis Scott, when he had his deal with McDonald's, like a musician having a McDonald's deal, not a huge movie franchise, not like, you know, these big industry. Well, music.
Those burgers
still
sold out real quick, right?
A big industry.
Was it burgers?
Burgers, yeah. But I think that also came off the hype that they were getting with sneakers, that athletes get with sneakers and musicians get with sneakers. And
sure, yeah.
I mean, everyone's just trying to make money off this art, which is a bit sad.
Yeah, but sometimes it's beneficial, you know, like it can be a source of income.
You know what? Yeah, it's actually not that sad. It's pretty good. It's actually nice that these artists are getting a platform with these huge companies, and it's just a step in the right direction, maybe. Yep. If it stays like this, then we really are just like pawns in a game, and they're kind of they've got this big circus, and they'll hold up one of the top players who we all admire and be like, look what I'm using this product.
But you know, that's how I remember learning about this like in actual high school history class, that is how advertising started. It's like, this set of teacups and saucers is used by the queen. Oh my god. Cool. Fucking what do you call that? Royalty, you know, approved by the palace, like
right, by her royal highness.
Yeah, this satin, this brand of satin, these shoes. It's how it started. Like the celebrity of that was the damn. What's the word I'm not getting? You know, like the collective term for queens and kings.
Oh, like royalty.
Not royalty, but
your highness, my liege.
It's a collective term, like the aristocracy.
The fucking Brits,
but not
man.
That.
The fucking
the higher ups. Yeah, and they came up with that shit. You know, they're like, I think it literally was like household objects, like teacup sets and stuff. They're like, the royal house uses these, and people are like, you don't say. Interesting. And then becomes a status symbol and all this. And all,
yeah.
You know.
They used to advertise for wild shit, though, in the past. Like, you'd see all these different serums. You know, if you go to old photos from the 1910s or 20s, there's these billboards for, like, vitality serum with, like, all these just random ingredients in them, and someone having a drink, and then the next picture they got big muscles. And it's like a drawing. It's an illustration.
Right.
But still, people buy into the idea.
And it's like 40% cocaine. decades later, it's 60% meth.
Now here we are.
Some
in 2022.
Diet pills. I mean, are things really all that different now? You know, you buy diapers. It has like a happy baby on it.
Yeah, I mean, no, this is something we were discussing in school. Or it has a soft puppy on it.
A soft
puppy,
which
has nothing to do with wiping your ass.
True. Yeah, it really doesn't. Or like what? Or are there all these cereal companies with their mascots. Like, what does that monkey have to do with Cocoa Pops?
Wow, dude, it's actually so synonymous. That monkey and
you
Cocoa
see
Pops.
That monkey and you taste Cocoa Pops in your mouth, right?
Yeah, well, something like that.
They're his Cocoa Pops. I'd like to have that little monkey in my mouth.
No, dude, really though.
No, but really, like, I used to live only on Cocoa Pops.
Is that so?
Yo, for real, dude.
Yo, Cocoa Pops and soy milk hit different at night, dog. Different.
Yo, I would put on, like, MTV and eat Cocoa Pops, like, after school.
sitting like a couch potato or something.
Yeah, I was like literally a couch potato, like after school, straight CP mode.
But dude, I see you, dude. You're making big moves.
Yo, you're making moves, dude. Like, big ups to you, man. I'm proud of you, bro. Yeah, we're just in a room together right now, and this is just all coming out.
Man, this is my nice studio apartment. I've waited so long to live here.
Sure is a studio apartment.
What do you mean by, oh, hey, yeah, we recording, baby. This is also where I make my music, yeah, where I do my paintings. I'm going to plug.
Yeah, if only they could see the setup back there. Studio monitors.
Hey, yeah.
DJ.
The DJ deck, yeah.
Deck. I was thinking deck, but I was like, no, that's what my speakers are called.
You can even say a DJ mixer.
No, mixer sounds more, that sounds like I'm in the know about the DJing world.
Yeah, that was a real dream of mine for like a year. At the beginning of COVID, I'd like spend 300 euros to get this mixer. Because the one before I had with like, you could have two songs on it, like a two-track mixer. And this one was four. And that really changed the game because I could have one track that was just playing a drum loop and another track playing a bass. And then the other ones, I could have two different songs.
Wow.
So I could mix songs in and out while always having this kind of consistency of the same drums or a vocal that you can kind of cut back to.
Yeah, that's really nice. Could you also do it off of records then? That seems like the coolest thing to me.
Yeah, it is.
Like you take the beat from some old record and it's literally just looping like the one part of the record, you know?
Well, you can't do that automatically. You have to do that manually with your hand. So you got to pull it back at the right time to the right spot and let go and then pull it back.
Wow, that's a crazy skill. Erica, she comes in with this crazy... It like this perfect pitch. And I remember when I was like 11, I used to get really... I was really into like drugs. Not even 11, I was like 13.
What? When I was 11, I was super into
I was just fascinated by the idea that you could alter your state of mind. I was kind of the combination of like afraid and absolutely fascinated. So I literally spent my nights. I found websites like drugs.com, which has a lot of those anti-drug PSAs.
Yeah, a lot of sketchy YouTube searches that Google might, you know.
That too.
Reroute back.
But it wasn't that much YouTube. Like, it was a lot of just like, okay, so what does that mean? Okay, dizziness, paranoia, hallucinations. What does that mean? What does that look like? Okay, and that's when I found out about all these different categories. Okay, there's stimulants, there's hallucinogenics, there's depressants. Oh, alcohol is a depressant, just like heroin. And how's that different from morphine? And what does meth do? And I think I was watching Breaking Bad at the time, but as well. Wow,
this is some valuable information to learn at a younger age.
Dude, and I was fascinated. And whenever anyone would talk about this, like, yeah, mushrooms or something, they didn't know, no one ever really knew, you know. And
you'd, I was come like, in with the, oh,
yeah,
facts.
I was like, yeah, the active substance in that is psilocybin, actually. It makes you hallucinate for about 6 hours. I'd come in with the facts, exactly. But I was just hooked. I was like absolutely fascinated. And that ended up becoming just a lot of still fascination, but I mostly became, as I got older, became more fascinated with psilocybin specifically, and with weed, obviously. But I remember being at that young age, not having tried any of the shit, you know. I'd only tried alcohol pretty much at the time, and I was fascinated about these drugs. And anyway, then I also remember, probably still the reason to this day I haven't done acid, is like the one I watched for acid at the time. Even though I'd done a lot of my research, like I knew it wasn't addictive, I knew this and that, you know, that it's not the most dangerous thing ever. But watching one of those videos, it was like this long-haired guy. It was the most typical thing, right? This long-haired guy who's alone in his messy-ass bedroom. It's dark. It's night. He's taken acid in his apartment. There's police sirens going on outside. And it's kind of like that Steve Carell and Timothée Chalamet movie, Beautiful Boy. You know, his son is just, I think it's meth in that movie or whatever. But that very typical kind of imagery of drug addiction, you know, where you're just like in a city, your life is a mess, you're hallucinating, you're walking into traffic and stuff. And I think at some point it is the typical kind of acid thing where he jumps in front of a train at the end, you know, and they kind of depict how he doesn't have control over his mind anymore and he goes into a psychotic state.
Yeah.
And he jumps in front of a train, and that scared me to my core. The one for weed was totally different. It was like, a bunch of boys out in a Volkswagen van together. And then they're drinking beer. And I was like, okay, they're drinking beer. But then they start lighting up some joints. They're having fun.
And they turn into goblins. No.
And then one of them literally just has like a seizure, like a heart attack or something. And he's just on the floor. But it still looks really nice. Like they're out in the hills. There's sunshine. But that one didn't scare me as much, you know. But the acid one, they did a good job of like making it look scary. Like, do you want to lose your mind?
Hmm.
Anyway, I think it was all drugs.com. Where I did a lot of that research.
Drugs.com.
I think that was it. And you know, those PSAs, not great. But actual medical information on certain drugs before you try them or someone has them to you,
yeah,
pretty great.
I feel like the whole era of the 70s and psychedelic rock and a lot of the music that came from that time was like my PSA to advocating for LSD.
Oh, yeah. That came a little bit later for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did you see The Sunshine Makers? Mm-mm. That documentary? Oh, dude. Should watch it.
I will. But yeah, it made LSD seem like the key to unlocking this whole, I don't know.
This whole life thing.
This whole life thing, bro. This whole universe, man.
No, bro. But like, I just had a thought, man, that was like the best thought I ever. No, I figured it out, dude. Life is just a combination of action and perception, and you just have to combine them in the right dosage, dude.
And you know, everything is just energy.
Yo, in a way, we are just like waves.
Everyone just
it's all vibrations, bro. No, but we've had our fair share of conversations like that as well.
A lot of it is true. It's just annoying to hear someone say it. And I hear it come out of my own mouth sometimes, and I'm like, you're coming across real annoying right now.
Here you go, talking about the vibrations.
Talking about the universe. But like, that's honestly truth. I don't know.
But tell us about the acid. How did you get into that?
Well, I mean, I just admired it from afar, you know. I would just... It was actually watching a lot of the test footage they did with first the army on acid. They took this like little platoon and took them around the army camp doing their drills, doing their marches. 10 hut, you know, the deal. And then
do you just make yourself laugh?
I do that all the time.
Me too.
And then they gave them all acid and told them to come back out, and none of them are following orders. They're all laughing. They're all just like, you know, kind of sloppy. Like some of them just take off their shoes, start looking at their feet. Like it's just debilitating.
Like a bunch of children.
Yeah, they can't follow orders. Not a chance. But then they even start making the commander laugh, so it spreads. So all order is gone. It's now chaos. But chaos isn't necessarily bad. When it comes from a good place, who knows? It's a breathing ground for something new.
Yeah.
But I feel like we should finish this podcast with just sharing a nice memory we each have from our childhood. Anything.
Whoa.
And just describe it.
Getting deep.
Not deep, just fundamental. That's actually a fun word I was playing with during the week. Like, what are the fundamentals? That's why I went back to my exercise, back to my sleep.
It's actually a good distinction to make between depth and foundational.
Yeah, this whole idea of first principles thinking. Are you... Yeah, man, that shit fucking rocks my world. But yeah, any memory? I can start.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, you start.
Okay, let me think a little bit as well. Okay, there was this one time. So I was probably about 7 or 8, and I used to walk to school with my sister. I think it was about 5 kilometers. So she was 5 years old, I was like 7. We were two little kids wandering, and it was a really snowy morning, really icy.
Where was this?
In Maynooth.
Okay.
In Ireland. And we used to go to an Irish school all the way on the other side of town. So we'd walk there in our uniforms. And we got there really early this morning, and there was a bunch of kids waiting outside, and it was snowing and super icy, and everyone was cold, and they were all huddled up like people waiting outside an Apple store for the new iPhone.
In October.
In October is right. And yeah, I went up and I was like, why is no one going in? They said the door was locked. And there was a small pin pad, like a code you could put in. And I think a week before, my friend had told me the code is 1234 to the entire school for the whole alarm system.
Did you just dox your school?
They're probably renovated now. But yeah, he had seen a teacher trying to get in one time, and someone else in the reception had gone to them like, 1234, like mimed it with their hands, and he had seen it walking by, and so he told me. And so I was like, oh shit, I'll open the door for us, you know, I'll be the hero. Cool. So I went 1234, beep, 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 opened up, all the kids flood in, and this teacher walks out of the teacher's lounge, and she looks at me, she just goes like this, she's just like, come here.
Oh right, my. Now.
And she takes me into the principal's office, and she's just a teacher, but she just starts berating me like, who do you think you are? What is this? What you think is this? If there were no teachers here, imagine that. Da-da-da. And made me feel like shit. And I thought I had really fucked up my place in the school. I thought my whole future was over. So I went back to class, and my teacher didn't know. And I just sat down, and yeah, I was really sure this was my last day, you know? I was taking it every moment that way, and I actually just called home sick instead so I could just leave. And then my mom came and got me, and I just started crying, and I told her, I'm a failure. I'm sorry. I failed you. And she was like, what happened? I told her the story, and she said, it's fine, Dal. It's okay. You were just trying to help. Yeah, that's a core memory.
Wow.
Chilling back there the day I put in the code. And someone was like, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Isn't it always the case?
Fucking little bit.
Because when you asked the question, I immediately started thinking, and what's the memories that stand out most are negative ones, like, or at least ones that are interactions with authority, like that one.
Mm.
For a moment, I was hoping that your story was going to go in the direction of you open the door and you just had a great day. It was just you and school. And you were just roaming around the empty halls and having the best time.
Yeah. But that's interesting though, you say that many of our memories might be negative and from authority, because that's when we kind of learn a lesson. Because when things are good, yeah, and things are great, like, there's not much to learn, you know, everything's like, going as it should.
I have memories of good things, but they're just like, oh, we had a great time at this barbecue. Or I used to go over to my neighbor's house, and they'd give us some either pear or strawberry ice cream on summer days. But those aren't really stories, you know?
Yeah, except like with the information, no, it's just information. You went to your neighbor's, she gave you pears. But if you close your eyes and you think back...
It was pear ice cream.
Yeah, if you close your eyes and you think back to the taste of that pear ice cream,
yeah,
and who your neighbor was and her face and the sunny days back then, you know, that's where the feeling comes in. It's like that balance of feeling and thought, like information and emotion.
Yeah, it's all feeling, dude. I think at the time, yeah, I was so young as well when the pear thing happened, or when we used to do that, me and my brother would go. I don't think I was thinking at the time. I think it was just the feeling of going around purely based on feeling, like, okay, we're going to go to their house, maybe their home, get some. There was no perception of the future and thought on that level of like, what are we going to do?
Mm.
It just happened.
Yeah.
But actually, I might have a memory, actually.
A happy one?
No, not really.
Go ahead.
I'm going based off location. I was thinking of the different places I lived when I was young. This must have been when I was, I want to say probably 6. So around the same time as yours. And it was actually, we were living in the neighborhood where my brother was born, like in a very small Dutch village. It was like a real rural kind of place. We actually went to school one town over. But yeah, we were in this place and right outside of our block of houses was a little, how would you say, like a little square with a bunch of stores around it. And at this is so weird, at Christmas time, they'd have a huge pine tree there in the middle that they'd obviously like decorate. It was like a big Christmas tree. And I remember around that time, maybe for Christmas, I'd gotten a bike, something like that. Anyway, I had this little bike. I was learning how to ride it. And I was just out there one day on my own. And I remember there was no one around. It was just a nice day, and I went on my bike, and I was having so much fun, and I went in circles around this big tree. And I just remember how much fun I was having. I was going faster and faster, going circling this tree with like all the energy I could muster, until eventually I crashed really hard and the bike landed on top of my leg in a really horrible way, and I broke my leg.
You broke your whole leg.
I broke the entire bottom half of my leg in like 7 different places.
What?
Yeah,
how fast were you going?
I don't know. I must have really fallen in the wrong way. Maybe my leg got stuck in the bike frame.
Yeah, and then, even the wheel, the way the wheel can sometimes turn, like the front wheel when you're falling. If your leg goes forward and gets stuck in between the frame and the wheel,
it might have been something like that. And
fuck you up.
It did fuck me up. And I was, apparently, the thing is, I don't remember feeling any pain. And I don't think I felt any pain in the moment. Mm. I was just lying there, chilling with my leg completely broken and mangled in this bike. I wasn't unconscious either, so I was just lying there on my back. And then this lady who was doing some shopping found me there, and she said I was just lying on my back chilling, like I wasn't screaming, I wasn't crying. There must have been some intense shock or whatever, anything to just kept me docile in that moment.
Definitely.
And then obviously she brought me to my parents. They took me to the hospital. I had to go into surgery to fix my leg. And I don't remember any of that. I also don't remember any pain, but I know like that story and that's how it happened. And I was like out there by myself on my little bike going in circles. And the next memory I have is like the period afterwards, which was great. I just remember sitting on the couch with my leg up, and I had this kind of little table with a pillow under it, like a couch table. Mm-hmm. I'd have it on my lap, and I was just watching movies on TV. I was watching like Nickelodeon or something, having the best time, and people were bringing me so many gifts. Mm. I remember getting so many gifts, like for my broken leg, and like family and relatives would come by and be like, oh my god, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm chilling. And they'd come bring me some toy or something. Like, so it was actually a great memory after that. Mm. Yeah.
Like, heals up. All the attention stops. So just break the other one.
Life goes on.
Break an arm or something.
Yeah. No, that's when I learned my lesson to just keep breaking limbs to get gifts.
Yeah, people pity someone with a broken limb, definitely.
Yeah.
That's something you can capitalize on in the future. You can get a job out of it.
Yeah.
You might get a Tesla out of it these days.
It's really the takeaway from this episode is go out there, even just a wrist, although it's not as impactful as a leg.
Yeah, no one cares about a wrist brace, man. But your neck. If you can get some good damage to your neck.
Yeah.
That would be super beneficial.
Actually, for next week, it would be sick if you guys could leave some comments on the YouTube of how you tried to go out and break your neck this week. And we can all come back here and discuss the kind of material rewards we got for that.
Definitely, because we do want to build up a kind of rhetoric with our audience, or like a back and forth, you know. This is cool that we're doing something. We're doing a little podcast, we're having fun,
it's cute.
But I think it really starts when we have a community and we can respond to people and we can it what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Something that Sherlock was not.
Yes. Oh, that's just good banter.
It's excellent banter. Absolutely top tier banter.
Anyways, I gotta go to work soon. If you made it this far, by the way, on the YouTube, comment below top tier banter.
I wonder if anyone has, honestly. So we'll be looking for that comment. And even if you did listen on Spotify, then go over to YouTube. Hit us with that top tier banter, and we'll shout you out in the next episode, 100%. If anyone made it this far and they go to the Blueberry Tent YouTube, comment whatever the fuck you want. We'll shout you out. We'll shout out your comments.
Hell yeah.
We love you people, man. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next Friday, obviously.
This was a lot of fun, man.
This was a lot of fun, I really enjoyed this.
I hope we can start getting some guests soon. You know, I have some great artist friends in the old Academy Minerva.
Maybe next week we'll have someone lined up.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah. Alright. Alright. Signing off.
Peace.
Thank you for listening. Erica, she comes in with this crazy ha 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 ha.